This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Tina Camellia and Juliet Jacobs. Here's what we have on the show for you today.
Award-winning Philippine journalist Maria Ressa, often a target of President Duterte, has been freed on bail after being arrested for cyber libel.
Following that, we talk about receiving flowers, but what is the environmental cost of giving cut flowers as gifts?
And with that in mind, we're asking you over on Twitter, should we end the practice of sending flowers on special occasions? So we're saying yes, no, or would you rather send a plant? To join in the conversation today, you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can even call us at 03-77-33-2900.
But before we get to our stories, here are Simon and Garfunkel with Scarborough Fair.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Scarborough Fair by Simon and Garfunkel. Now let's move on to our first story. Tina, what do you have for us?
So Maria Ressa, the internationally acclaimed journalist and CEO of Rappler, has been freed on bail after being arrested for cyber libel.
This is my sixth time I've posted bail in about 2 months. And this bail is for one charge, and it is 100,000 pesos. It may be the largest one of all of the six times I've posted bail. It's also the first time I've been arrested.
So that was Maria Ressa speaking to reporters after she was released. And 100,000 Philippine pesos, about 7,900 ringgit. And just a quick timeline, because I've been following this story for quite a bit. She's quite a hardline critic of the Philippine president, Duterte. But this all started way back in May 2012, when Rappler was founded. She co-founded Rappler back then, 7 years ago. And they published an article alleging a businessman's tie to a former judge. And then about 5 years later, October 27, the businessman, Wilfredo Keng, filed a complaint to the National Bureau of Investigation. In February 2018, the NBI, Cybercrime Division, said that the complaint had no basis after they conducted several investigations, including calling up Ressa for statements. And then a month later, the NBI confirmed that they had reopened the case against Rappler before the Department of Justice. Fast forward, January 2019, the Department of Justice indicted Ressa and another Rappler reporter who's since left Rappler, saying that that 2012 article was clearly defamatory. And just 2 days ago, Ressa was arrested in the Rappler office. And yesterday, after spending a night in the in NBI custody, Ressa was able to post bail and was released. So what's next?
The immediate next step is to go and look at everything. I mean, look at all the papers that were served and were not served. Why did a paper that was given to the NBI, the arrest warrant that was imperfect, that didn't have the information for bail, why was that executed the same day it was given to them after the courts were closed? And then why was the one night court that was open with the ability to actually grant bail, why was I not allowed to post bail last night? The cyber libel case, a case that was already thrown out by the NBI, number one. It was a case for a story that was done 7 years ago. When the NBI threw it out, it made the right decision, and then it magically appeared again a week later. I always say this is politically motivated, and I don't know why the government is afraid of the truth. You shouldn't be afraid of that. In fact, it should make government stronger. That is the check and balance of journalism and government. We've done this through many administrations. I've been here before and I will be here after.
So a little bit of background on Maria Ressa and Rappler. The award-winning journalist was actually included in Time's Person of the Year 2018 as one of the many journalists from around the world combating fake news. Maria Ressa, who's a former CNN journalist, co-founded Rappler in 2012 with the aim of being Philippines' fact-checker. Rappler is one of the few media organizations that openly question President Rodrigo Duterte's policies and the accuracy of his statements.
And Ressa and Duterte have actually crossed paths for more than three decades. And according to The Guardian, she first interviewed him in the 80s when he was mayor of Davao. And in 2012, during his presidential election campaign, Ressa conducted the now infamous interview with him in which he confessed to killing three people. And Duterte has previously denied that the charges against Ressa are politically motivated. But he has also publicly branded Rappler a fake news outlet and banned its staff from covering his events, which sounds very familiar.
So familiar, I wonder why.
My stay last night at the NBI really made me think about what this is all about, right? And for me, it's about two things: abuse of power and weaponization of the law. This isn't just about me, and it's not just about Rappler. The message that the government is sending is very clear, and someone actually told our reporter this last night: be silent or you're next. So I'm saying and I'm appealing to you not to be silent, even if and especially if you're next. You have to express outrage like I am doing now. Press freedom is not just about journalists, right? It's not just about us. It's not just about me. It's not just about Rappler. Press freedom is the foundation of every single right of every Filipino to the truth so that we can hold the powerful to account. What we're seeing is death by a thousand cuts of our democracy. I always said that when I look back a decade from now, I want to make sure that I have done all I can. We will not duck. We will not hide. We will hold the line.
So the cyber libel charge carries a potential 12-year sentence, and Ressa had also been charged for multiple tax frauds, which she says are also manufactured, and she could serve up to a decade in prison if convicted for just one count of tax fraud.
Mm.
So this brings up the discussion of press freedom, something that we ourselves grapple with here in Malaysia.
Yes, of course. And like we said, you know, this sounds so familiar. You know, not only here, we're hearing it so much happening in, you know, the fake news. You know, we're hearing that a lot from another very infamous president of the US. And, you know, I spoke to a journalist last year. Her name is Wade Williams. And she was writing about her home country in Liberia, actually. And you know, she was reporting on accusations of corruption as well. And this was against a former government minister that was actually made by an independent auditor. The minister was dismissed but never charged. And although, you know, there were scores who've been dismissed under corruption and all of that, none of them have ever been charged. But what did happen was they were sued. The news, she was sued, her news company was, her news, the newspaper, organization was sued, you know, on trumped up things and all sorts of accusations that were not true. But because the judiciary system there, also there's issues there. So ultimately they lost, and they were awarded a staggering $1.5 million in damages. Sorry, that's the minister who was awarded. So of course, you know, a small little Liberian news organization couldn't pay it. So the publisher was thrown in jail, the paper was shut down, and that was that.
So I think that's it's quite telling, right? Because sometimes it isn't as straightforward to haul up these journalists under, to basically straight up say, I don't like the kind of stories you're doing.
Yeah. it's always,
And the thing is, this is a method of intimidation. You intimidate journalists and journalistic organizations by getting them with things like this, things like libel or,
tax fraud.
Tax fraud. And because the financial amount involved is so big, and then even in this case, like you said, Tina, she could serve up to a decade in prison, Maria Ressa, if convicted for just one count of tax fraud, right?
And she has multiple counts charged under her name.
So these are huge, this is a huge price to pay. And it kind of not just puts the people who are doing the good work away. It scares others from coming forward to even do anything close to that kind of work, right?
Yeah. And the thing about Maria Ressa is that she is a pretty internationally acclaimed. Everyone knows her name. She was on one of the front pages of the Times magazine. And I've heard of her even before this whole news broke out, right? So so for us, or for in her case, and I'm not saying that she's getting it much, it's much easier for her. But I think that her ability to eventually post bail and get out of custody overnight. I think that part of it is because of the international outcry. Definitely. But like, for example, in Wadi's case, a much smaller country, nobody really, the global community don't really care.
Don't know.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. You can't, you know, most of us can't even point out where Liberia is on the map. You know what I mean?
You're right.
So it's much harder for journalists from tinier organizations or countries to get the international support. Like the Reuters journalists in Myanmar, for example, because Myanmar has been in the spotlight for human rights violations, right? So that was, you know, you get that global reaction almost instantly, even though they're still in jail now, I think. But you know, at least you get coverage for it. But there's so many other nameless journalists and news outlets who probably are facing the same kind of intimidation from their government and you know, don't have a voice.
Yeah. And it's exactly that, right? It's all these different charges. There's no, suit against what they actually said. It's all, like I think Maria said, you know, there was a fishing expedition that went on, you know, looking at all the her documents, looking at just digging whatever they could possibly find about her and Rappler to put her in court just to get. And I mean, okay, so Rappler is a slightly bigger organization, right? But imagine the like Wadi's, you know, organization, a tiny one. Even if you were to counter sue, how are you going to pay for your lawyer
fees? Exactly.
You know, you're going to be trapped in a lawsuit that's going to go on for years, possibly, you know. So ultimately, you just have to fold.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right that also it's a matter of the spotlight as well. I know, for instance, in countries like India, where they have so many vernacular media, there are lots of really brave journalists doing work in the different languages, you know, languages that the rest of the world don't have access to. And because of that, when they do get into trouble, the scale at which it's addressed is very different, because we can't really access their works in English, for instance. The international media spotlight doesn't really fall on them. And so often, like you said, Juliet, they're just forced to fold, or they're forced to retract what they've said. Or in, you know, much more sort of dark and sad cases, journalists are murdered and you don't even hear about it.
Like Jamal Khashoggi.
Yes. He is one of the many, I think. In his case, at least, the rest of us did hear about it. Well, I'm sure we'll be keeping an eye on what's happening with Rappler and with Maria Ressa.
What an awesome woman she is. I mean, even after spending that night in jail, that speech, what an amazing speech.
Yeah, yes. Well, on that note, we would all like to dedicate the song that we have coming up to her, Aretha Franklin, with respect. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about the practice of sending flowers. But first, here is Aretha Franklin with respect.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.